if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Restore the Past Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. How you guys doing?
How are you?
Doing good, baby. Doing good.
Good, guys. I'm doing great today on a hump day, Wednesday. And, guys, we mentioned at the end of last show on Monday where the NBA free agency has just kicked off and really trying to compete for what the MLB trade deadline was, where it was just a lot of big names going everywhere. So that's exactly where we're going to start. And the latest is Carmelo is going to join LeBron and AD out in LA with the Lakers. You know, but there's another group of guys is also joining the group as well. Russell Westbrook joined the party earlier. And now you got Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard coming back for his third tour of duty with the Lakers. Because remember, the first time he came through, Kobe punked him out of the spot. Like, yo, you're not a Laker, bro. Like, Kobe straight up told him, you ain't a Laker. And then he came back, and then they got business done with LeBron a couple years ago for a chip. But nonetheless, he's back in L.A. pride. But nonetheless, we got an abundance of guys that we're going to mention that are now joining the Lakers in this next year championship run. With all these acquisitions, should the Lakers be favored again in the West to win this upcoming season?
No, not even close. If you think they are, you're a moron, and basketball's not in your wheelhouse. that's just a fact. Like, at this point, we're bringing – like, I get Dwight. That's fine. You know, you get a big – come bring off the bench. He's a solid dude. So, I, you know, big Dwight, not bad. I like that. But Melo, come on now. Melo, like the problem that people are having is that they see the name. They see Russ. They see Trevor Ariza. They see Melo. And they automatically assume that on this team, they're going to play like they played in the prime. That's not how it's going to work. That's not how it was going to work. These dudes are not going to play like that in their prime. These dudes is old. He said, my cousin said, Melo and Westbrook fiending for them rings. 100%, especially Melo. 100% they fiending for it. But no. This doesn't put them up in the head. Because if anything, Trevor Ariza is not the defender he was. Forget Miami. With the Rockets. When he left Houston, this dude was a commodity. He was a commodity. Now no one really cared for him. Melo's not that dude no more. He's really not. He's still a solid guy, but he's not. He's not a tipping point anymore. He's not. And if you're going to tell yourself that, you're fooling yourself. Again, everyone wants to suck Russ and saying, bro, the triple-doubles are amazing. But he needs the ball in his hands, and for every assist he gets, there's an assist that you're looking at him like, what are you doing? And on top of that, last year, this team's calling card was their defense. Now, what is it now? What is it now? If you're going to tell me this team is better defensively, especially in the West, when it comes to the West, you need some semblance of defense. You need some semblance. This ain't the East where you can have no defense, you can cruise through. In the West, you need some semblance of defense. They ain't got – name me one defender they got other than Dwight. And Dwight not a ball stopper like that. He's more of a dude that's going to protect the paint. Name me a ball stopper. None. So to act and pretend, oh, yeah, the Lakers are got it. Oh, my God, it's over. No, it's not, because, again, you're getting a whole bunch of old guys who, frankly, don't fit. They really don't. And if you're going to lie to yourself and say they do, turn the TV off. Basketball's not in your wheelhouse. That's just a fact. Like, these guys ain't, like, again, Wayne Ellington, I like that because they needed a shooter. Malik Monk, I like that. They needed a shooter. Those pieces are good because you need shooters. What are you doing getting, Russ?
So you don't think that if Carmelo commits to just being a shooter, you don't think he could be a serviceable shooter for this Lakers team?
I'm not saying he can't be. First and foremost, let's not pretend that all of a sudden Melo is that dude no more. Let's not pretend it, okay? Let's not pretend that. Because don't forget, 2 years ago, nobody wanted him, and the only reason Portland signed him was because they had so many injuries, they were desperate. So let's not act like Melo's that guy. Second, Melo's probably going to give you at best, let's say he gives you 15 points a game. Whoever he's guarding, they're dropping 20. So what are you doing for me? What are you doing for me? Really, what are you doing for me? If you just got him to come off the bench and be a scorer, okay, sure, I get it, kind of. But then now that defeats the purpose with Trevor Ariza. Because Trevor Ariza ain't that good defensively, and he's a solid. He's an okay shooter. Not the best, but he's a solid shooter. Now what are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with Russ? Because if you think Russ passing the ball to Melo, you're out your mind. You're out your mind. Russ barely going to give the ball to AD. And that's just to do the alley-oop so he can go and say, I got a triple-double. And for all this hoopla about the triple-double, the most success he's had ever since KD left him was where? In Houston. That one place he couldn't get the triple-doubles. And what happened? The best success he's had as in terms of getting a championship, as the best success he has ever since KD left, couldn't get the triple-double, took his ball, went home, and said it's not fair. So in terms of like how this – no, this – like I'm looking at this team, and I'm like, bro, looking at this team, I don't know – like. Bro, the Clippers might end up beating them, bro. Like, you really going to sit there and tell me this Lakers team? If you're going to sit there and tell me this Lakers team really has – bro, that not at all. You know what? This reminds me of LeBron's – I think it was his first year. When this dude was getting weirdos, when he was getting JaVale McGee, and he was getting Michael Beasley, and he was getting all these weirdos together. That's what it reminds me of. You're getting a whole bunch of dudes that don't fit. And you're going to tell me, look, I love LeBron, but – again, when the Lakers don't win, LeBron, you're going to have to wear this one. Because I know for a fact you're the reason Russ is here. I know for a fact you're the reason Carmelo's there. You, matter of fact, you're the reason Buddy Hield isn't there, which is what you guys should have gotten. You needed a Buddy Hield. Or, heck, maybe even a DeMar DeRozan. That's the type of guy you guys needed. But now, yeah, let's go get a Russ who doesn't know how to spell three-point, never mind actually making them. Let's go get an old Melo. Who Portland was like, hey, yo, fam, you can go. We don't even, you can go. Like, matter of fact, we'll usher you out the door. Like, again, these guys are old. If you're tricking yourself thinking, oh, yeah, we're getting OKC Russ. Oh, yeah, we're getting New York or even Denver Melo. Oh, yeah, we're getting Houston Trevor Ariza. If that's your mindset, there's nothing else I can tell you because that's not who you're getting. That's not who you're getting. You're getting older guys who, on top of that, are basically in themselves and get mad. How many times in Portland have we seen Melo literally get mad and butt hurt because Dame Lillard was taking over and he wasn't getting the ball? How many times have you seen that? Pounding on the sideline. How many times have you seen Russ yelling at Bradley Beal? Nah, give me the ball when Bradley Beal was hot. How many times have you seen him yelling at him? So I don't. There's a couple more like nice moves they made, but the big ones that they made that everyone is like fiending about saying, oh yeah, bro, this is lit. They're not. We got to remember, we're in 2021. We're in 2021. If you can't make a legit case without talking about 2015, without talking about 2013, without even going back to 2011, if you can't make a case for that now, you can't sit there with a straight face and say this team is a problem. But how this team is looking now, they're not coming out the West. Yeah, I love LeBron. I'm a fanboy of LeBron. But he's going to have to wear this one because it's all on him, 100%. So, no, this ain't no way it's going to be Lakers versus the – no.
Well, for those who think that the Lakers are not getting out of the West due to age, the last time there was a championship team with an average age of over 30, it was a LeBron-led team and it was a Miami Heat team. It was the only team to win the championship where the average age was over 30 years old. So if we're going to talk about old players can't win it again, get that nonsense out of here because it's been done before. And the one that can do it is a guy like LeBron coming back 100% healthy. AD's coming back 100% healthy. Those are both top five players in the league when they're both healthy. And you're talking about there's a defender on the league. Last time I checked, when Anthony Davis was healthy, he's a defensive player of the year candidate every single year. So that's definitely defensive. There's still defense on this team. I don't know where this notion is. And yes, Russell Westbrook may not be the best defensive point guard in the league, but he's damn sure not the worst because he ain't scared of a damn soul. And he will go up 90 feet with anybody. So there's still defensive prowess on this team. They did manage to get a few shooters in Malik Monk, which, you know, shot his best career average from the three-point line this season, so that's good, especially if he continues to progress the way he is. I'm really excited that they were able to keep THT because it gives them an extra perimeter ball handler, an extra fresh young leg, because this is the oldest team in the league, but they managed to get a few guys, a few young legs. So yeah, for sure, the Lakers are still live. They really still are live. If you think that adding Russell Westbrook is a detriment to this team and is going to affect this team negatively, then you haven't been watching Russell Westbrook play basketball, because he's definitely going to add to this team, positively. He's going to be able to make sure that he does what he needs to do to get this Lakers, to help LeBron and Anthony Davis get out of the West. They for sure will get out of the West. I'm saying they're going to win, because I still have the Brooklyn Nets beating them, but it's going to be the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA Finals. A LeBron-led team, when LeBron is healthy, gets to the damn finals. I don't know what this notion of, you think that LeBron just fell off the face of the earth and doesn't know how to get bums to an NBA Finals. If he could get bums to an NBA Finals, I'm pretty sure he'll have no problem getting a still prime Russell Westbrook.
You think that LeBron could take Uncle Drew's crew to the finals?
Miami went to the Heat and went to the finals, and they were over.
This is not prime LeBron.
Go ahead, though. I was just trying to make a joke.
This dude doesn't make sense when he talks. This dude's talking about Lakers' first round exit, so I'm not going to listen to a guy that thinks the Lakers are going to be a first round exit. This team is still prime to get out the West. It's a LeBron led team again, and he's coming healthy. There's no lingering injury. AD's coming back. You guys, damn, it literally just happened last season when LeBron was not hurt. He had the number one team in the West. He gets hurt, everything falls off a cliff. Now, all of a sudden, he's not going to get out the first round. You're smoking crack, bro. You really are.
Well, you're obviously one of the morons I was referring to, because the team just doesn't fit. And if you can't accept that, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Well, listen, I do agree on one point, Sandra, in your side there. I do always have faith on a LeBron-led team, and if anybody could glue any pieces together and take any ingredient and make it a delicious dish, it is LeBron James for sure. But, you know, you do have a lot of guys over here that are very past their prime, and I just got, you know, the ages. Melo, 37. Bron, 36. Gasol, 36. Dwight, 35. 33. Ellington. Bazemore's 32. Russ is a 32 that has a lot of miles on his sneakers. You know, they got Kendrick Nunn from the Miami Heat. He's young. He's 26. I like Kendrick Nunn. I think he's a solid guy. Malik Monk's 23. And like you said, they kept THT, Horn Tucker, who's 20. He'll be 21 by the time that the season starts. So, you know, I remember saying this to you guys earlier in the day when all this was coming together, that I do think that grown men basketball could win in this league, because I feel like there's a difference between 30-year-olds bumping each other and 20-year-olds bumping each other. Like, you really feel the grown man's strength of a 30-year-old compared to a young team. Let's say, like, an average group of, like, 25-year-olds versus a bunch of 30-year-olds. You're going to feel that throughout the wear and tear of a series. But the one thing is, and I do side and pride on this one, and I don't necessarily agree that the Lakers would get bounced in the first round, but come playoff time with a bunch of 30-year-olds, it's your stamina up to par to compete for 7 games with a team that might be able to out-stamina you in the event of a series. And then if you win a series, you got to do it again and again. And then eventually by the finals, everybody's worn out, and it really just comes down to execution. But nonetheless, you know, I do think that a LeBron-led team has a chance. I don't think they should be favorite right now. I will take the West, because I just feel like you just never know what could happen, especially we saw a prime example of that this year with all the injuries and stuff. But I do think that teams are going to be coming back hungrier as ever.
I mean, look, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I just, again, if your linchpin is, oh, LeBron carried these dudes. And again, I'm the biggest LeBron James fan. But if you're going to tell me that Cleveland Cavaliers LeBron is the same LeBron that we currently have on the Lakers, you're out of your mind.
Well, I'll
this is not the same LeBron.
To that point, I think
you had him getting past Lakers Phoenix LeBron. With a broken leg. You with one leg, you had him getting through Phoenix. Blind
first
face,
of all, it wasn't
that.
Wasn't a broken leg. You can't do it. You don't know what you're talking about. But second one of all, the team they had last year made more sense. It made more sense, and it was more.
I will tell you this, and I'll address both your points. We could definitely say it in hindsight now that this team last year made more sense because we saw it on the court for a season. This team right now is like the way you would put it, question mark. We still don't know. On paper, it looks like a compilation of talent that we don't know how it's going to mix. You got guys like yourself that just say that you don't think it can work. That's a big to be determined. But again, that's in hindsight. We'll see how it works by the end of the season, depending on what the record is and how they perform. And to your point about LeBron, about Cavaliers LeBron, listen, we don't need Cavaliers LeBron. We have a Lakers LeBron who won a championship in the bubble, and I get it. The circumstances of the bubble are different than any other year. But he proved already as a Laker playing the style of basketball that he does present now that he can be efficient enough to win you a championship. So I do think that LeBron, like I said, he's the master chef. He could take any ingredient, serve it out there, and charge you $24.99 for a little plate like this because he's LeBron and he could do it. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying I got blind faith in the man because I'm trying to be realistic about the thing, but I'm not going to count out the Lakers from at least being, even with this roster, like I said, I still consider them a top four team in the West.
I mean, go ahead. Have fun with that. You can. When they fall apart, I'm going to be here by myself laughing in your face. And okay, unfortunately, that means
okay, laughing I'll give in the front. I'll give you this. 1-4 seeding, I get Skittles. Five through whatever, all the way down to 15, you get Skittles.
No, I don't even want Skittles. I want an apology.
How about the Skittles make it a sweet apology? Because I'll give you the apology.
100%. Okay. 100%. This is going to be the easiest Skittles I've ever gotten in my entire life. It's really easy than the Skittles I stole from my son earlier today. So this is going to be cake. This is going to be cake. I don't even care. Look, man, again, the only argument people have to say this team can work is when you go back in time. But the weird thing about time is maybe
I'm saying in the present. I'm not even going back.
My point is though, you can't sit there and say based on how Russ played just last year, the dude was not getting the ball because Bradley Beal was on fire and the guy's pouting and getting mad and demanding the rock when Bradley Beal is on fire. How do you think Russ is going to handle when AD, because they run certain plays for AD. How do you think he's going to feel when AD gets the ball and he's on fire and they give him the rock? Or when LeBron just switches a flip and starts taking over? How do you think he's going to feel? Same thing with Melo.
I'll answer that.
This dude led the league in assists last season. He's not going to worry about getting the ball. He led the league in assists last season. He's going to want to get others. He's going to want to get others. He brought a team that was 15 games under 100 to a playoff seeding. What are you to talking the play about, in? No, like I don't understand, bro.
So the AC is all of a sudden phenomenal. The AC is all of a sudden
not phenomenal. But what
you bugging, bro? You bugging,
bro? His talent, he's still talented, bro. You talking like he's a bum?
I'm not saying he's not talented, but in this team,
that Kyle Kuzma 2.0. Why am I listening to this dude, bro?
And this is the same.
Kuzma 2.0, bro.
The Cowboys win a wild card spot.
Yeah, we talking basketball. Why are we talking Cowboys, Mr. Irrelevant? What you doing? We're talking NBA right now.
Nonetheless, I like the way that LeVar Arrington put it.
Standard. Yo, wipe your lip.
I like the way that LeVar Arrington put it in Undisputed. He said that this is kind of more like a dream team scenario, not even a big three. You're really just putting guys together. It's an old dream team, obviously, on face value. But nonetheless, we're gonna see how the pieces fit because we're all gonna be watching LA as the season progresses. But I do want to take time to, because we want to talk about what happened out east, because the Eastern Conference is also making a lot of noise, The Knicks were very busy, the Bulls and also the Heat, all making transactions of themselves, acquiring star players, including Kemba Walker. We're from Connecticut, so we love Kemba. He's going to be in New York, so he's going to be a little closer to home now. So I'm glad to see him there. They're going to pair him up also with Evan Fournier, who, we joke about Olympian Fournier. They're going to hope that they get that guy that goes off. But nonetheless, he's going to be in New York there to join RJ Barrett and Julius Randle as they're going to try to build things. The Hawks did a good job of keeping their guy Collins, which I was very happy about because John Collins became a very essential part for what Atlanta was doing last year. So I'm happy they kept him. Miami, your boys, Sander, they not only extended Jimmy Butler, but they got Kyle Lowry. They got Victor Oladipo to come back. And the last time I heard, you're getting Markieff Morris. And they also re-signed P.J. Tucker, who really did what we did here, but got a championship ring out of Milwaukee. So kudos to him. I'm not mad at him. But nonetheless, Sander, the guys in the Eastern Conference are making noise to try to beat Milwaukee and the Brooklyn Nets for that Eastern spot. All these teams, who do you think challenges those guys the most?
Man, there's this one team that's really challenged them, and you guys better be ready for it. And it's nobody. Ain't nobody in the East gonna challenge the Bucks or the Nets. No, it's not even. They're so far. They're so far.
They got Patty Mills, so now they're
level,
invincible.
There's levels to this, and those two teams are just on another level that these other teams are fighting to get to, scrambling to get to. But and they're good jobs. Like, listen, the Chicago Bulls, they've done a good job to surround some talent around there. Adding DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, that's going to help them be competitive. You touched on it, Miami bringing back Duncan Robinson and Oladipo. And, you know, the Kyle Lowry, you know, is basically a better version of Goran Dragic. I don't know how really good that is, but I guess it's okay. So I love seeing Cardi at Kemba in New York, because the last time, my favorite moment of Kemba of all time is him and MSG in that tournament putting the back against Pitt and knocking down the game winner. That's my favorite moment of Kemba. So seeing him where he's from, I think he's from Brooklyn or the Bronx. So he's in at his home, you know, it's going to be lovely. But again, it's not enough to try and compete with the Brooklyn Nets when they coming back 100% healthy. And the Milwaukee Bucks, the defending champions, they're there. You know, Middleton is still there. Holiday is getting better. If you haven't watched the Olympic play, go watch some Holiday in the Olympics, because the dude is just shutting dudes down. He's shutting dudes down. Granted, it's a, you know, guys that just get started playing basketball, whatever, but still, nonetheless, it's great to see.
He's first team all pro for a reason.
He's first team all pro. He did his job, got a championship with the Bucks, so he's going to come in next season hot, because the thing about this Olympic play, a lot of these players go into the following NBA season after Olympic play. They come hot. They're, you know, they were playing. They're still hot for the Olympic play. So they come into the season, you know, with that swag, and I feel like, you know, I feel like the Bulls specifically, you know, with Zach LaVine being more involved in Team USA basketball, I think he just averaged like what, 28, 29 last season. I think he's going to be out there doing the same thing next season. The addition of DeMar DeRozan, like I said, a guy who can take the pressure off of Zach LaVine. And I think they added Vucevic last season too, so around the trade deadline. So if there is a team I'm going to pick, I'm not going to pick my Heat, even though I'm a Heat fan to the death. I'm not going to pick my Heat. I'm going to sit here and say, if there was a team that I feel like is going to compete for like a third spot, and third, fourth spot, it's going to be between the Celtics and the Bulls. That's it. And more so the Celtics, because Jason Yums is that dude. He's arrived. He's here. Brown is coming back, you know, off that injury. He's coming back. So I think the Celtics and the Bulls are the only two teams that'll compete for that third spot. Everyone else, what you think? What do you want me to say? You got a chance to knock off the Nets or the Bucks? Come on, I don't smoke that crack stuff, bro.
This was by far the weirdest offseason or beginning of the offseason I can remember. Yeah. By far, Miami did the dumbest move in giving Jimmy Butler that max deal when nobody would have gave him anything close to it. I thought Pat Riley was going to hardball him and be like, yo, Jimmy, go see what you can get. That's what I thought he was going to do, because Pat Riley's kind of known for that. And all of a sudden he said no. So, and then they got Kyle Lowry. And then this is the one that befuddled me. They're bringing back Victor Oladipo. I don't get that. You know, I don't fully get it. But to each their own. Miami didn't really make a move. Brad Stevens wheeling, dealing like a madman, like he's Danny Ainge reincarnate. But if we took a step at the only – we probably took half a step at best. I look at our roster. I don't see us taking a massive step to the point where I can sit here with a straight face and call us legitimate contenders. I can't see that. New York added Cardiac Kemba and who they hope Olympic freshman – Fournier, which I mean, I still can't put them over, even though I do think they're going in the right direction. In terms of me saying who I think is going to end up like being a legit threat, I mean, how are we defining threat? I mean, are we talking about threat amongst each other, or are we talking about a threat against
who get seven games? That's all I'm saying. Like, who's going to put a scare in you?
A scare in me?
Let's hear it on Milwaukee or Brooklyn.
The 76ers? I mean, are they still a team?
Are they still? Is Joel going to be there?
Well, now they're supposedly thinking about trading Joel Embiid for a real star, which
imagine,
which is weird because that's the same phrasing they used for Ben Simmons. So it's like I think that was a typo or something because I don't get it. I'm gonna go with the impression that the 76ers are gonna keep Joel Embiid because I'm assuming he still wants to be there, and they're gonna trade Ben Simmons and they're gonna get a guard, and there'll be in terms of who's the, I mean, look, bro, the Bucks really aren't a threat. To, you know what I mean? Like they're
you just won a championship, but you're not a threat.
Imagine. Do me a favor. And I was 100% against this Nets team. If KD, I'm not even gonna mention the foot.
Here we go with the if.
I'm not gonna say that. You already did. I'm just saying, listen, I'm not gonna devalue them, but the only thing I'm saying, if healthy, you're really telling me this Nets team, it wouldn't put the paws on this Bucks team? And this is coming from a dude who I was completely against the Nets, 110%. But, and again, I'm not trying to do that to diminish it because injuries are part of the game, and I understand that. It really is because, you know what I mean? It's a marathon, so you got to remain healthy. I get it. But to act like the Bucks are, like, world beaters, I mean, I don't know.
I agree. I agree with your premise. But I do think that going into this new year, where Brooklyn stood, Milwaukee is closer to them. If you want to say that Brooklyn is better than them, yes. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. But yes. Milwaukee doesn't have to look as high to Brooklyn. Like that's what I'm saying.
Because of the ring, and I get it. You know, if you were to tell me that.
I mean, the ring definitely verifies it, but I think just even going into the second year and learning how to play with each other also benefits that as well.
Which is true, you know. But in terms of like everybody else, it's like everyone's really fighting for third. That's really it. You're just trying to fight for a home court advantage until you see Brooklyn. That's really what it is, you know. Like, and again, every move everyone made, I don't see anyone. I mean, let's be honest, bro. Is Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan really scaring anybody? Let's be honest, bro. Are they really scaring anybody? You know what I mean? Like, no disrespect to them. And look, I love my Celtics, bro. I love them with a passion. But you expect me with a straight face?
I thought they were going to get John Collins. I was disappointed.
I'm tripping about that. We already saw what Atlanta did. They did everything they could. Everything they could. And they couldn't really get it done. And they haven't really added a piece to put them over the edge. So it's like the Knicks, yeah, you know, they brought Cardiac Kemba and, you know, who they hope Olympic Fournier, who that's the only way I will ever refer to him as. I will never call him Evan again. From this point on, it's Olympic Fournier. And Olympic Rubio. That's it.
Like, did you see Ricky Rubio, Olympic Rubio's numbers the other night?
See, that's 38. And when I call him Olympic, people look at me funny. That is why. And it's like, bro, get turned over here, bro. Phoenix could have used
that. Y'all heard of Olympian Luka, though?
Imagine it. He's somehow worse than NBA Luka. What that thinking? Olympic Luka is somehow worse, and he is still – Olympic Luka is still goaded. That's crazy. But in terms of – I just think everyone's really fighting for third. There's no great move I've seen that puts anybody really – over the top. If anything, I've seen a couple moves that kind of just make guys kind of be stagnant. That's really all I've seen a lot of moves like that. So in terms of who's gonna do it, I mean, the only way I could see it is if, like, you know, Brooklyn falls apart again and they get injured, which is a possibility. I mean, you know, if you want to go that route, you can. But if you're talking about like legitimately, like if we're doing 2K with injuries off, which I know it's unfair to do, but if we're talking about like that, I mean,
it's Brooklyn.
I'm putting it this way. If the Bucks lose a game on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, or if the Nets lose a game on the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, they should automatically forfeit. They should automatically forfeit the series. 100%. They should automatically forfeit the series and be like, you know what? We're not winning.
So the Eastern Conference is top heavy as hell, like when LeBron was there. Like,
so last year it was top heavy because it was three teams. Now it's worse. Now yeah. it's even worse because now it's really only two. Because I'm eliminating the 76ers just for now because I want to see what moves they make. I want to see, do they keep Embiid? Do they deal him? They're obviously going to deal with Ben Simmons. But really what they're going to do, so I'm kind of waiting for them. But as Prince Construction, everyone's just kind of fighting for third at this point. You know what I mean? Like, they're just fighting for third, and whoever gets it, I mean, you could say, hey, I beat everybody but those two.
Yeah, and I totally agree. It really is a fight for who's going to get third because, you know, like I just mentioned, it's just really top heavy. And I am going to stick with the thing that I do think Milwaukee is the better team right now in the East than Brooklyn. And some of that has to do with health. Some of that has to do that they just won the championship. I've seen them do it. I haven't seen Brooklyn do it yet. So I'm going to give them the edge, even though it's very slightly. But listen, I do look at this Bucks teams, guys, and I like what they've done, you know, with the addition of Lonzo. I really wish Lonzo would have stayed in New Orleans with Zion and Brandon Ingram because I just feel like he has had, like, the perfect fit for that team. And I feel like that team could have really taken off with a guy like Lonzo who's willing to share the ball and play his role to the best that he could there. But nonetheless, now he'll have Zach LaVine, who I know you're not very high on, Pride. And I'm not too high on him either, honestly, but he is a solid, top 20 guy in the league, maybe top 25. So, you know, you got a collection of guys. You got Vucevic, who's pretty serviceable too. And I'm not a DeRozan guy personally. I really don't like the guy. So I thought that was just a wasted pick of itself. But I'm very interested in just like every other accumulation of talent to see how it's going to work out. And I think that they have the best chance, Sander, of being like that third team that really knocks on that door.
Yeah, like, you know, the Bulls have a bunch of guys that you don't fall in love with. They're a bunch of B guys, but a bunch of B guys can still be competitive enough. You know, like I said, Zach LaVine isn't going to shock the entire world, but the dude is coming off a career high in scoring. He's averaging higher in scoring the past two seasons in a row. The third season back, he was hurt, so I don't count that season. But he's been progressing year in year. He's getting better, smarter.
But really what it comes down to this, and I think it was you that said it, Pride, and that you might have echoed this too, Santa, when it comes to Chicago Bulls, from 2 days ago to 7:41 on this day right now, before the moves and after the moves, we ain't shook of Chicago at all. Like, I don't think the Vegas odds changed at all. Like, this team just doesn't. Like, for some reason, you're like, oh, wow, all this happened. But their ceiling doesn't seem to have changed anywhere because, like you mentioned, the guys are just too good up top.
Yeah, 100%. Well, the guys, you know, they added Vucevic midseason last season, which, you know, added a good center to them. So they're not getting worse. Like, at least talent wise, they are accumulating talent. So it should be enough, like I said, to out of that group of teams, you know, I'm only going with the Celtics because. And Tate Yums, but you know, the Bulls as a team, they have a bunch of B guys, a bunch of solid guys, and they can possibly you say they don't put no fear. Well, let's keep it a buck. The Phoenix Suns didn't put a fear into nobody's heart, but they were still good enough to get to the finals. So I kind of see like that with the Bulls. They don't put a fear into nobody's heart, but they're still a good enough team to be competitive and maybe finish with a third or fourth seed in the East. They're not going to be scaring the Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks, but I guess they could put them to a point where kind of the Knicks were for so many years, and then they had that boom year, and now, you know, a lot of people are kind of talking about the Knicks again. Well, I kind of see that happening with the Bulls. They've been bottom feeders for a while now. I feel like they could have that boom season and become somewhat irrelevant again because since Derrick Rose and those Bulls, since Michael Jordan and those Bulls, they've been irrelevant.
All right. What happens if this happens, Pride? First 30 games of the season, let's say the Bulls are like 22-8. Like everything just looks good and they maintain and they're the top four seed. You know,
I'll put it this way. In 30 games, they go 30-0. They're not scaring the Magic. They're not scaring the Magic. They're not at all. This Bulls team, again, they're trending in the right direction.
But it's some of this that, you know, like, you know, we look at the Bulls and it's like, you got to win a championship because that's what Michael did there. So, like, that's really all you could do. Like, we don't look at the Bulls like, let's be real, like, the Bulls are like the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? It's funny. They kind of reign supreme around the same time. And I know, I'm sorry, Sandra, I don't mean to bring it up, but it is a very comparable scenario.
I know Cowboys fans and Chicago Bulls fans, they're all the same people.
So you understand what I'm saying? They're relevant around the same time. Their names echo, but the echo is falling silent now because the accolades that once made them make noise are very far behind them. So you think, like, with that being said, Pride, is that just the Chicago Bulls thing? Like, it's like, yo, you could accumulate all these guys, but if you're not getting the chip, that it don't matter because it's really championship or bust for the Bulls, regardless if they're good or not, because of the standard that has been set.
Kind of, but the thing is like, I see where you're coming from. The reason I kind of give a little pushback is just because on the problem with the Bulls, right, isn't really that, you know, that they haven't won a chip or anything like that. That's not really the main problem. The main problem is after D Rose, they haven't gotten anybody.
Can I say another point that I just thought of, and I'll let you finish your point, I promise, but I just think it would fuel the conversation. This is a Chicago Bulls team who's recently been put under the spotlight once again with the Last Dance documentary that Michael Jordan released, and it really highlights, you know, what was the collapse essentially of that great Michael Jordan Bulls team run and how things got so ugly really because of what happened upstairs. Yeah, that was really the illustration of that. So do you think that the Bulls are really just doing this too to like really reach out there and be like, listen, I know we haven't been great since then, but listen, we're freaking trying.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think what they're just trying to do is just make the playoffs. That's just it. They're like, yo, bro, we could be an eight seed and get swept. At least we can say we made the playoffs. Like, that's kind of where Chicago is right now. In terms of free agency, like, they just haven't gotten anybody. They just haven't. You know what I mean? Like, you know, again, another organization who has never won a ring, but the most success they've had was around that Michael Jordan era, the Jazz. But the Jazz have been able to get people, and they've been able to make some moves, and they picked up I almost said Davion Mitchell. Imagine Donovan Mitchell. I almost thought homeboy from college, but they got Donovan Mitchell, and now they were able to build around him. So now they're a team who, sure, you don't believe they'll win it, but they're at least a force that you need to respect in the Western Conference.
They're going to be there at least.
Yes, yeah, you have to come see me. Like, somebody here going to have to come see me. So I think that's the difference. When it comes with the Bulls, they just were never able, after the Derrick Rose injury, they made the mistake. And I don't blame them for making this mistake, because I feel like 90% of organizations would have done the same thing. They still try to run with Derrick Rose, and they thought – he got injured, but we got faith in him, and they put all their eggs in his basket. I wouldn't have done it, but again, I'm biased because I've never been a Derrick Rose fan, but I believe 90% of other teams would have done the same thing. They would have been like, we'll wait for you to come back, and when you come back, we're going to plug you right back in, and we're going to take off. Because remember, those Bulls were basically the only legitimate threat to LeBron and the Heat at the time. They were the only legitimate threat. Like, when people saw it, I think one year Atlanta Hawks had the number one seed, and everyone was just like, yeah, okay, come on now. We're here for Miami and Chicago. That's all we're here for. Like, we don't. So I think it's just the fact that they just haven't done anything, and now they have the opportunity to make moves. Now they're trying to make moves. So at the bare minimum, regardless what seed they get, they want to be in the playoffs, so that way they can say, you know what? We're at least going somewhere. Like, it's been a while. Kind of how the Knicks were. They couldn't spell playoffs. Now they came in as a fifth seed, I believe. Oh, no, a fourth seed. They came in as the fourth, and now they were like, it was life. You know, nobody in New York legitimately thought they could beat the Nets. Nobody legit. They thought maybe we got a puncher chance against the 76ers. But in their mind, they're like, we made the playoffs. This is something we never thought we'd see in our lifetime. So we need to enjoy it. And I think that's where Chicago is. They're making the proper moves. They're going in the right direction. I give it 2 years before they mess it up again, though.
Yeah, no, Chicago unfortunately has this curse. Like, you know, they have not been able to get a top three pick, a top four lottery pick. Every time they fall in a draft, they do fall in the lottery, but they also manage to get that unlucky draft where it's only two, three man deep and they have the fourth pick. You know, or it's four man deep and they have the sixth pick. So it's just a matter of luck with the Bulls, because they have been bottom feeders. They have you've seen their logo on those little round balls being sucked up by the machine every other year, but they haven't been able to draft guys. Like, look at these past five drafts. We could throw out names like Luka. We could throw out names like Damian Lillard. these are guys that went high in the draft, where if the Bulls would have been able to get one of those picks, they would have had the franchise guy. So it's a lot to do with a little bit of unluckiness as well. It's just unfortunate with the NBA, the style, the way the draft is. Even you could have the worst team in the league and still not have the number one pick. So it's just, you know, it's just a matter of unluckiness as well, because we all know if it was a matter of, you know, the worst team gets the worst pick, it'd be a lot of teams where their franchises would have been different. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of tanking, so, yeah.
And a lot of tanking as well, which is, I kind of like the fact that it's a lottery. It's kind of a lottery because you don't get that. It's a long season. You don't want to see a team go 0-82 just to reassure to get the number one pick. So it's just
imagine you have to get Zion, you go 0-82.
If it was a matter of having the worst record, it would be done. So I wouldn't put it past the NBA. But that, you know, the Bulls are just in that type of lane. You know, they are taking a step out of a page out of the Knicks book. They were bottom feeders for what, 5-6 years, but when Melo left. Well, they were relevant when Melo was there with JR. They had the second best record in the league that year. I mean, that was the last year the Knicks were really relevant. And then ever since then, it was just bottom feeding ever since. So, and then they, like I said, they had that boom. I think the Bulls are kind of hoping for some type of equivalent or equal year to what the Knicks had last season. Because even not so much thirsty, even if the Bulls get the fourth seed like the Knicks did, that would do a lot for the city of Chicago.
Yeah, I agree, guys. And, you know, always acquiring talent is never a bad thing, because as we saw last year, you know, and you can lose one star guy and all of a sudden your team's in shambles and you really got to scrap. So always acquiring talent, do the best you can. And, you know, we talked about Chicago a lot and they did a lot of that. So good luck, guys. You know, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on the Bulls throughout the whole season. And, you know, a team that's facing injuries right now, too, is the Indianapolis Colts right now in the NFL, because not only did they lose their star quarterback, Carson Wentz, who they hope will be the franchise guy, but they also lost Quentin Nelson. So now they're both gone for 5 to 12 weeks, guys. And now they're not necessarily scrambling for the quarterback, but the conversation has come around saying that, hey, you know, Phillip Rivers just retired and he's been there last year. And they had okay success with him going 11-5 and reaching the playoffs. You know, you could call that relatively success, at least you're on the board, right? Can't get the girl if you don't show up to the dance, right, Pride? But nonetheless, you know, so the Colts consider Rivers, you know, with the way that things are going?
No, and for a couple reasons. First and foremost, Phillip Rivers is out of shape. He's out of shape. Have y'all seen him?
He said it himself, too.
Yeah, 100%. He said it. And it's funny because he said that. I was like, let me see how out of shape he looks. He looks like he's never touched a football, period. Forget his career, bro. Like, if you just put him behind a silhouette and you saw his body, you're like, hey, yo, that's my Uncle Larry. What'd it do? Oh, my God. That was a former NFL quarterback. What? He just retired? It's wild. So that's number one. And now he said he wants to get in shape. Number two, when he said, yo, I'm getting ready for the chance, he was basically saying a late season. Like, he was going to be there late season. Yep. Like, he was, like, you know, he if basically anything after week 8 and after would be when he's willing to be like, okay, I'm in shape, I'll hear out the offers, etc. Now, let's say the Colts decided to sign him. The reason I'm saying that to me, that's kind of stupid, is first, Phillip Rivers he's not going to come in and be like, yo, I'm a backup. If you're going to tell him that, he might as well stay at the high school he's coaching at. That's going to be the mentality he has, which I don't blame him. I don't blame him. If you're going to leave your job and go be an NFL quarterback, why am I coming off the bench? You know what I mean? If I'm going to come off the bench, I'm not going to be.
He ain't never sniffed bench either, so.
Exactly. Like, yeah, like he came in and he immediately was a plug-and-play dude. You know, again, I'm not the biggest fan of his. I'm really not. But I'm talking about as a guy how he looks at himself. He's like, why am I going to sit on the bench for you when I can go coach off the bench, get paid decent to do it, and have fun? That way I got to be on the bench worrying about nobody. So, no, and on top of that, I want him to play Eason. I want to see what if he can perform on the level. You drafted him. Why not put him in there? Why duck and move and do everything possible? Because, again, you don't need a guy who's gonna throw 350 yards. If your guy can give you 200 yards, so be it. That's fine. You just need a guy who can throw short passes and not turn the ball over. That's all they need. as long as they can get him. And again, I don't think they should go get him, period. I don't think they should go try to get Phillip Rivers, period. I just don't believe that because, again, even with Carson's injury, if when he comes back, why kind of bring him back? Because I feel like if you bring him back, it's kind of going to be like a Nick Foles 2.0 where Carson's going to be like, oh, great, you brought this dude. Now, you know, he's nipping at my heels. Great. Now I'm kind of going to get messed up again. So I don't think so. Again, I understand why people are thinking that. I get it. But if you take a step back and actually look at the whole picture, it wouldn't make sense for them to get him now because the guy said, bro, if last week to show up to training camp, if I weighed myself, dog, not only would I have missed weight, they would have sent me home. Yeah. This dude said I would have lost my contract right there on the spot. My man said, hey, yo, y'all ever heard of Eddie Lacy? I'm the white guy. I'm the white version that throws that plays quarterback. That's who I am. He called himself. Hey, he was acting like he was Eddie Lacy.
Showing
up with a beer gun. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think it'll be a good idea. Again, I'm under the impression that I don't think Carson Wentz is really going to miss that much time. I don't think so. We'll see. Quentin Nelson was like, yo, y'all think I'm missing 12 weeks? You guys are stupid. Like, he was triggered. He was like, yeah. So he's like, 5 weeks?
I love
it. Yeah, I'll be back in three, my guy. He's like, I'll be back in three. Like, don't test me, yo. So I'm very curious. But in terms of him, no. If you're going to have a quarterback, just get Eason. Put him in there. Let's see what that kid can do. Then if 3 games in, you guys have no faith in him, so be it. Figure out what you want to do with him. But it wouldn't make sense to go get a quarterback like a Phil Rivers who thinks of himself as a starter and has known nothing but the starter life since coming into the NFL. You know what I mean? Like that's all he's really known. So to bring him in to basically have him be the bridge so that way Carson come back and then bench him, I personally don't think that would make a lot of sense. I would just go with Easton. So I don't think the coach would go for him.
Yeah, no, I just wouldn't bode well for a guy like Phillip Rivers to come fat out of shape into the NFL and try and, you know, even though he has some type of familiarity with Frank Reich, he did play last season and played well enough to take him to the playoffs, may I say. So, you know, even though with that being said, like there's no reason to bring him in. Play Easton because 3-6, 2-7 with Phillip Rivers doesn't look any different than 3-6 or 2-7 with Eason. So it's just wasted time. Get what you can out of the kid because give him the experience. You know, he could maybe develop into a really good backup quarterback or someone that can learn, you know, not only get the reps with the first team that, you know, he wouldn't be getting with Carson Wentz out there healthy. The fact that Carson Wentz is going to miss some time, get that young kid out there, see what he can do. People in training camp rave about his arm talent. See if it's for real. Get him in playing time because that's the only real time you'll see. What you was going to say, Sanjay?
No.
Oh, like see what you can do. See what he can do because there's no point in trying to bring a guy like Phillip Rivers who not only – is going to want to start, but he's going to want to win games. And quite frankly, guys, I don't think with Phillip Rivers, you're going to win games. So have Eason out there, guys. Like I remember hearing about when Phillip Rivers was going to retire, everybody's like, damn, what are we going to do now? Oh, you guys signed Carson Wentz. Now he goes down. I said it last episode on our show. Just pack it in, Colts fans. Call it in for this season because everybody wants to talk about the injury for Carson Wentz is not that serious. The injury for Quentin Nelson is not that serious. I'm going by what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. If I'm hearing 5 to 12 weeks, then that's what I'm going by until I see otherwise. If I see otherwise, then we could reach this conversation again and talk differently. But I'm going off based what I'm hearing, and what I'm hearing doesn't sound right. A guy like Carson Wentz, his mental's in shambles. The last thing you need is, let's just say you do bring in Phillip Rivers, and he does well. What's the point of trying to bring in Carson Wentz if the team is doing well under Phillip Rivers? It's just a lot of unnecessary nonsense that the Colts don't need. Honestly, just wash it. You guys have Carson Wentz locked in, not for just one season. You guys got him locked in. this wasn't a Super Bowl or bust year either for you guys. You guys were going to be half of America doesn't even have you guys coming out of the AFC. That AFC, what is it? What do you guys know? South? The AFC South. I don't even know how the hell the Indianapolis Colts are in the AFC South, but still, because you guys play up north. But still, you guys weren't even like favored by half of America to get out the South with Carson Wentz. So just honestly, guys, the fact that you guys could go this much time without Carson Wentz could actually help you guys in the long run. You'll get a draft pick back, and it's a win-win for you guys because no one's having you guys win it all this season. So there's no point into trying to extend and reach because then that's when things get, you know, blown out and things just don't go right. This plan went awry the second we found out Carson Wentz is going to miss some time, and it didn't help that Quentin Nelson is also hurt. The fact that he can come back from this injury, you're still dealing with a player who is coming back from an injury. He can get hurt again. It's just, honestly, in football, there's no sense into trying to rush things. The best thing is to let it take its time. You guys can come back next season and for sure be a threat. But this season, as far as the Colts trying to be a threat in the AFC, dude, there's no point.
Yeah, and I agree with what a lot of you guys said, and I take it with a grain of salt because you guys know I have a soft spot for the Colts. You know, but Sander, you know, you made up a great point. I like the way that you said it, that you're like, the L looks the same regardless if it's Phillip Rivers or Eason or even Wentz, right? And I was looking at that 6-8 game schedule that you were telling me about, how they play those tough early stretch of their season. And I'm like, even with Carson Wentz, it looks to me the same. Like, they were going to win or lose the same games regardless if Carson Wentz was the quarterback or not. So there's really no point in bringing in a guy like Rivers to change the trajectory of the team, because he's probably going to give you the same exact result that Eason or Wentz would give you regardless. And listen, guys, I was, you know, I'm doing my homework and I'm looking at conversations going around about with the Colts and the quarterback situation. And the most interesting name came into fruition about who the Colts should get. You know who that guy is? He wears number 7. Does that help?
Oh, hell no.
Mr. Colin Kaepernick is the guy that people are saying that, oh, yeah, the Colts should look into him. Him and Carson Wentz kind of fit the same mold. And I'm like, it kind of makes sense a little bit. But yeah, at this point, I think that Colin Kaepernick is so far removed from the NFL. You know, he was going to get the tryout. And then him and the NFL had a last-minute disagreement with the paperwork. And he ended up having the workout, like, at a stadium a few miles from there. And then the people that were interested went, and the ones that didn't said, I'm wasting my time, and then went back home. So I do think that the Colts with Colin Kaepernick is a very far shot possibility. But, you know, like you said, Pride, you know, you drafted Eason in the 4th round last year, you know, see what you got with him. If you're going to see what he has in real time, this is going to be the time now. You never know. You might find a diamond in the rough that you didn't expect that you have. And then when Carson Wentz comes back, you have that conversation. And if he stinks it up, then boom, Carson Wentz, there you go. You go play your spot. But I am optimistic that they're going to be closer to the 5 weeks than the 12 standard personally. But nonetheless, I hate that it was both Quentin Nelson Pride that, you know, and I feel like, did they stomp the same dude out or something? Like, these guys got the same injury and going to be out for the same exact time. These guys were together or something when this happened. I don't understand how this happened.
Nah, 100%. Him and I know how it happened too. I was there in the background. Him and the Carson were doing keggers and they dropped it on their foot. But all jokes aside, though,
Quentin looks like a kegger kind of guy.
100%. 100%. I don't care what no one. And Carson looks he looks the same, but he looks like he tries to play it off.
He's a frat boy.
I'm a big guy. I'll bring her home at 8:30. It's 11 o'clock and they're still out. That's Carson Wentz. Don't let him pull it, bro. But I don't. It's. And like you said, JJ, it's a 4th-round pick to get Eason. So it's not like you spent a first or a second. So if he ends up not panning out, you can still you're fine. It's not like it's like the end of the world. So you might as well put him out there. Let's see what the kid can do. Let's see if we can handle. Let's see if there's maybe he's bad now. But do we see potential? Do we see glimpses? Do we see a little something in him that maybe he's not it now? But maybe he could be that guy later.
A little trade value. You never know.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You might as well throw him out there and just see what you got, you know? And you said about people think about Colin Kaepernick, which I understand the prototype. I get it. Because, you know, he's more mobile like Carson. But that ship has sailed, came back, sailed again, went around the world, and just lapped us. Like, that's how far gone that thing is, bro. Like, Carson, like, that whole Colin Kaepernick comeback, that shit lapped us, bro. And we're still, like, people still can't accept it, bro. Like,
I just giggled when I saw the article.
I would giggle, too. 100%, I would giggle, too. But, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, if I'm the Colts, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't. If you're going to assume it's on the 12-week side of things, You're just being dramatic for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Like I told you,
absolutely. And you know, Sander, and if it is closer to the 12th pick, and you end up really having a top 10 pick, worst case scenario, Chris Ballard, you know, the GM for the Colts has proven to be a good, very good draft pick choice. Or so, you know, I'll definitely put I would definitely have faith in him in making the right decisions in the draft if they do end up having a top 10 pick, and it will help them pan out the next season.
Yeah, well, I mean, but like I said, guys, if the Colts start, you said, JJ, you saw the schedule. I'm not playing. It's not the easiest.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's a bunch of Seattle, week one. It's a bunch of tough teams.
Like, Wentz is not putting them, like, over the hump like that, so it's kind of like the games are losing, then we're gonna lose.
All right, let me just go through them real quick. This is once Seattle, that's an L.
Yep,
the Rams, that's an L.
Yep,
you got Tennessee at Tennessee, that's the
L. I'll give Tennessee, one of those games.
I'll give Tennessee the Tennessee game, I'll give Indy their home game. So, there, so call it. So, all right, so the first two games were at home, those were already two L's. Now they're at Tennessee. They're 0-3. Now they host Miami. That's a coin. That's a coin flip. I would probably give Miami that win, right?
I would give me personally, just because of the inexperience of Tua, and he's still trying to. That's still a young defense or young offense. I think your established defense would be able to give you guys that win. But you are right. It is a coin flip. But I would give it to Indy. It definitely would be close.
In fact, I'm gonna give it to Indy because we played them last year and we beat them last year. Yep. So call it 2-2 right now, right? Mm-hmm. With once. Then you got the Ravens, 2-3. Then you got the Texans, 3-3. Then you got San Francisco. What do you think San Francisco is gonna be this year?
That's another coin flip right there. Because there is a lot of question marks with them.
Either way, you're talking 4-3, 3-4, and then you got Tennessee. Week 8. That's that one's at home, so that's a loss. So you're talking about 500 either with once, regardless. Right. So you know, even like you just got to test out, see what you got with Eason. Like you know, you drafted him. Like I said, drafted him in the fourth round. It doesn't hurt to see what you got.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, like I said, if worse comes to worse and he does miss out all that time, at least you guys get that draft pick.
Exactly. Now that's how I trust Vic Baller with that pick. He's been a terrific GM, and I trust him with my life. Believe me, nonetheless.
only GM I'm trusting is Bill Belichick, because I know for a fact, if my life is a hindrance at all, I know I'm getting traded to Cleveland. So I'm trusting with Bill Belichick, 100%.
That's one thing he's not shy about doing. He'll definitely send anybody to Cleveland, and he would not be scared about it. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, check us out on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch.tv/Clover Press Media Group. Check out all our content on our website at cloverpressmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And give us a listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. Still, the passports will be there. Yeah, guys, you know, I'm very excited about, you know, it's like the whole NBA landscape just shifted again, you know, kind of like the whole NFL did last year. And I'm very excited to see what the league's going to look like in this upcoming season.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
it's dope. It's dope because I guess this is like one of the first times where the NBA offseason is sprinkling in towards the NFL offseason. So you're getting movement from both leagues all at once, so there's a lot of sports to cover. But this weekend, guys, we got some UFC.
Yeah, and we'll definitely be talking about that come Friday.
Did you know that the MLB already dropped next year's schedule?
I saw that, and I was like, how does that even work?
Okay, see, I thought I was smoking. I thought I was bugging. I saw it, and I didn't click because I thought it was clickbait, and I was like, I will not be happy. And for all you guys didn't know, I was a fool. I got stumped by a random account on Twitter, and I thought that when the Yankees traded, I think it was for Gallo, that they gave up a whole bunch of like their best prospect. I was a fool. and I was not going to be had again, but I lost again because turns out it was real. And when I found that out, I felt even dumber. So it's just amazing, bro. We're barely halfway through the season. They're like, hey, yo, this season's not enough for you? Black at the mira. Next season. It's wild, bro.
Yeah, like they say, you got. That's all it is. I'm JJ Vargas. My brother's Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Friday. Yeah.